You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Veronica Muyinjo, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Can I please correct my surname?
Yes, please.
It's Muyinjo.
Oh, Muyinjo. I'm actually pronouncing that J as J, so it's Muyinjo.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, Veronica Muyinjo. What language is this?
Yes. It's Oshiherero. It's a language in Namibia.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
All right. Veronica Muyinjo. Wow.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, man. You know, today we're diving into a topic that touches many lives. I mean, navigating this classroom for children and students with autism, you know.
Yes.
And we're actually going to be getting into that. Now, as a specialist teacher, how do you set up a classroom that assumes a student is capable of complex thought? Even if they aren't using spoken words?
Yes, that's such a good question, and I'm so glad you touched on it. I think that for a lot of us, especially those that have been in the field, we think that just because someone doesn't have speech, it means that they don't have thought, and that is very important to kind of navigate that, right? So what I do is I try to incorporate as much age-appropriate material as I possibly can, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the posters, if you're going to have posters, which I would not recommend you have many of, because it could be sensory overwhelming, mm-hmm. but have posters of things that are relevant,
mm-hmm.
and then during breaks and so forth, play information like podcasts or something that are age appropriate, so we can keep that brain working. Mm-hmm. Even if we do not recognize that, you know, they don't have speech, maybe they use other ways of communication, but presume always that they're at the age level of their peers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, in a specialized classroom, how do the roles of the teacher, occupational therapist, teaching assistant overlap? How do you ensure you are operating as a unified team rather than working in silos?
Oh, that's such a good question. And then also bringing the parents as well, you know,
because it is
a community.
Oh, yes.
It's a community effort. I think that the relationship is about having similar goals. So not the one person needing this, or the one person presuming less, and the one person thinking that, oh, no, they can't do this. You know, we have a unified community where we all think that, oh, this person is worthy and capable. And so our goals are working towards bringing out that capability, not shunning it, not, you know, leaving them to just things that are not age appropriate, things that are kiddish, even like a 20-year-old in your classroom that you have and you're still doing threading and things like that, then you should be wondering, maybe we should re-engage so that our relationship is one way we are thinking of the best interest and the best future interest of this human being. Yeah.
Mm. Now, beyond, in fact, you know, autistic students often thrive on predictability. How does having a teaching assistant and occupational therapist in the classroom maintain the rhythm of the class, you know, even when a crisis or meltdown occurs?
Absolutely. So a lot of children that have autism, ADHD, and so forth, they struggle with something called executive dysfunction, right? And executive functioning is just the area of our brain that helps us to plan, to prioritize, and to prepare. Mm. And this is also why they thrive so much on routine. It's because if the routine is flipped up or the routine is messed up in some way, then this child loses, you know, the capability to shift and say, okay, even if it's not working, I still can make it work, right? That is it's an issue that they have with their brain. So the predictability, the routines that we have, the same faces, if we can really do that. So maybe a year long, you have the exact same goal that you're working with, it builds trust. And it also builds the skills in themselves to recognize that, okay, so it has shifted a little bit, but I know my community and my trust system is still there, so I can still continue. And that's why it's quite important to stick to a routine. And even if you are going to change it, because, you know, life happens, change it in such a way that we can accommodate these feelings and these skills that the children have.
Beyond just a physical activity, how does an occupational therapist help to adapt the physical classroom environment, like lighting, seating, noise levels, to improve the students' focus?
Our occupational therapists are so important. I'm so glad that we're having conversations. I'd just like to shout out all the OTs.
Yep.
occupational therapists a lot of them are taught to do sensory kind of understandings, right? Mm-hmm. So if in your child, in your classroom, you have a child that has really difficulties with voices and noise and so on, we know then, okay, we have to put this child in a corner. The occupational therapist has recommended we put this child in this corner so that the noise of the teacher doesn't affect them as much. And then we have another child, and this is the whole, this is the same class. We have another child who thrives on movement. So we know that, okay, because this child thrives on movement, the occupational therapist has recommended a ball, a bouncing ball to help them. So we put them in that space. So this is how occupational therapists kind of work amongst, you know, the classroom to help develop and to help sustain a conducive learning environment for the kiddies that we work with.
And then social interaction, you know, is a major area of support for autistic learners. How do teaching assistants facilitate peer-to-peer relationships during a group work or playtime?
Yeah, so social interactions can be quite, we mentioned earlier, we spoke about this predictability that is helpful to it. And social interactions can be very unpredictable, right? Because you don't know if Sandy wants to share her toy today. You don't know if Peter is in a good mood. So it can be quite unpredictable. And I think teaching assistants can help to facilitate that predictability, but they can also help when a child, when it is dysregulating, and when it is moving out of the comfort of the child, to kind of guide the child back. Because the problem with the issue at hand is that we have special needs schools, but we don't have a special needs world, right? So our kids have to exist in a world with us. So the teachers, I think, just help to facilitate that in such a way that it brings them the needed comfort, but also the needed confidence for them to know that, oh, even if things are unpredictable, I can still survive. I can still maintain, I can still move forward. And that, I think that should actually be something that the teachers are focused on, not necessarily trying to control the whole environment, because that's not so realistic. The world doesn't exist that way. So you help to improve their skills and their confidence so that if they do exist in the world, they know that, okay, it doesn't really matter that it's not going my way. I'm confident enough to know that I can change it, or I can accept it as it is.
Now, supporting students with high needs is emotionally demanding. How does this team structure provide emotional support for the staff members themselves?
That's such a good question, and that's an important thing, because I think we are burning out, hey?
I can imagine.
People that are helpers, people that are, you're constantly giving of yourself, and it's actually a little bit unfair, because now you're leaving your own self-care to nothing, right? Because you're caring so much that you're not giving yourself a chance. So I do think that this relationship allows there to also be boundaries. You know what I mean? Because myself as a teacher, I am not an occupational therapist. So I step away when it's the occupational therapist territory, you know? Myself as a teaching assistant, I am not the teacher. So I step away when it's the teacher's territory. Do you understand? So I think that this relationship that we have, it helps to kind of foster, you have to have boundaries. You have to say, I'm not going to be doing that because I'm not an occupational therapist. Over to you, occupational therapist, so that everyone can work within the goals and the skill sets that they have. So even as a teacher's assistant, even as a teacher, I cannot step in as an assistant because that is not my role. That is your role, and you do it well. Because boundaries are so important. You will find the teachers, and bless their hearts, they are doing everything. They are the ones that are calling speech therapists, and they are the ones that are now going to buy diapers. It's like, no. You need to also find the link of where your work starts and where someone else's work also begins. And I think that's a healthy way of having a variety of relationships like that.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. I love that. Now, what is the most fulfilling part of seeing a student achieve independence because of this specific three-way partnership?
I think the most, it's when the student themselves recognizes that I did something here. You know what I mean? Like it's great when we have our goals and we come in and we have our discussions on IEP, but when the child themselves are able to recognize that, wow, I have actually come so far. I'm actually doing so much. And you can see them and their families kind of, you know, reshaped in that way. And I think that if we are honest, as the people that are involved, the teachers, the OTs, we miss those things. We don't really see them. But when the parents and the child themselves notices it, it's really, really mind-blowing.
Yeah. Now, what would be your final remarks and conclusion, especially to those who are listening, perhaps parents and occupational therapists and teaching assistants?
Yes. So if I can, I would like to have two remarks. The first of which is our regulation, our sense of calm and sense of being present helps them be present. So we really need to take the time to take care of ourselves. I do not think that enough emphasis, and I know there's a lot of emphasis put on it, but enough emphasis is put on really filling your own cup, doing the work to stay present, because our kids need that of us. If we are dysregulated, sometimes I walk into a classroom and I'm so dysregulated that the child gets dysregulated, and then I realize, oh, okay, it's me. I'm having the problem here. So we need to do that, right? We need to take care of ourselves. That's the first and very important thing. But the second thing is also, we need each other. As the occupational therapist, you come in maybe once a week to come and see this child. The teacher is present. Please talk to the teacher, include the teacher. The teacher's assistant is even more present, because when the teacher is busy with the other children, this person is making sure that everything is running. So we don't look down on, you know, this particular person, or we don't think, oh, but that person is educated as I am. No, we need this relationship to help this person become empowered, become the best version of ourselves. So we are a team, and the family members should also be included in this. Please, please, please bring in the fathers and the moms. Let's sit down and all be included in this holistic approach to teaching and in bettering this child. And if you can, also involve the child, also have them know that this is their future we are working towards. So they should also contribute significantly in whatever way. If they can communicate, then they can share their communication. But if they can't, then, you know, in other ways, right? But it is a joint relationship, and it can only thrive if each one of us brings in our best.
Beautiful. I must thank you so much for coming through. I think this is such an important and a very enlightening, conversation, Veronica. Thank you so, so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope you all have a blessed rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Stay blessed.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.